Our Father, we thank you for the unending, undeserved, overwhelming love that you pour out, Lord, on your church, on your sons and daughters. Lord, the love that you've displayed through the cross to any who would believe. You love this world so much that you extend salvation to those who would repent and turn from their sins. And Father, for those of us that have come to that saving knowledge, we enjoy that intimate love of a father and a son and a father and a daughter. And I pray that we would never be bored of your love, that it would always draw us to a deeper praise, a deeper time of worship. And so, Lord, again, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the truth that we sang about just now, that when we do really dwell on the love of Christ for us, we really don't have time to maintain our regrets, meaning we're not going to dwell on those past mistakes and those past sins that we've repented and turned from. We're not going to dwell on those things. We're going to let go of those things and look forward to what you have for us, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward to the things that are before. And so, Lord, again, would you give us wisdom to do that tonight? Father, thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for these that have gathered together, Lord, to get into your word and respond favorably to what we find therein. Father, again, we thank you for all of this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As these guys are seated, we're going to talk just about a couple announcements. A lot of things that we've been talking about for a few weeks, and so many of you know about these already, but we want to make sure you're aware of them. Men's and ladies' Bible study going on at the end of the month, I believe the 24th and the 26th for the ladies. So the Tuesday, the 24th, or Thursday, the 26th. And for the men, is going to be 26th of September as well. Cost for the men's Bible study is $20. Cost for the ladies' Bible study is $34. The difference with that is the ladies' Bible study actually has two books that come with it, and the men's is just the one book. So if you're interested in that, please sign up today. Don't forget to do that. You definitely don't want to miss out on that. The men are going to be studying through Daniel, and then as Kat said this morning, the ladies are going to be talking through the idea of The Forge, which is kind of a movie that has also been turned into a Bible study. And then the second book is I Surrender All. So a prayer that's an encouragement to you. Hopefully you can be a part of that study. Grief Share starts up tomorrow night, so making sure you're aware of that. But also we want to be praying for tomorrow night, but in the next 13 weeks, we're praying for wisdom for the leaders, compassion, understanding, guidance, open hearts and minds to those that come. There are some that have come that are not Christian, not believers, and so we want to pray that obviously they would come to know Christ as their Lord and personal Savior through the Word of God being shared with them, but also pray for those that are believers that they'll be encouraged by the Word to know they're not alone. So be praying for Dale, for Julie, and for Lynn as they lead, and for all those that will be a part of it. So I'll be praying for that. Also, Discovering Church membership is going on, so don't forget about that. Churchwide Bonfire, mark your calendars. That's going to be, I think, two weeks from tonight. So we have next week, and then the week after is going to be outside. So we won't meet in here for service. We'll meet out there right at 6. We're going to provide stuff for s'mores and, like, water. We'll have water out there. So any kind of special drinks you might want, make sure you bring that stuff with you. Appreciation Potluck, that's the end of the month, so sign up tonight before you leave. I love that we do potlucks and stuff, but sometimes it's a little stressful when the sign-up sheet looks a little light until like the day of, and we're not really sure what's going on. So we really don't want 47 macaroni salads. We'd like to have a little variety. So when you go out there, you're going to see there's some different groupings of things you can sign up for, so please do that. And then also on the 29th, we will have our evening service. So just so we get this question a lot, because for a long time on Appreciation Sunday, we didn't have Sunday evening service that day. A couple years ago, we started doing no Sunday evening service on Labor Day weekend and started having Sunday evening service on Appreciation Sunday. So we will have our Sunday evening service that day. So don't forget about that. And then that will be our fifth Sunday praise, which is just a time of testimony, of just expressing how good the Lord is, some worship, just some time to really encourage each other with praising and rejoicing in the Lord. So don't miss out on that. What else? I think that's everything. All the big stuff. Yes. Any questions about any upcoming events or activities? Yes, Jeff. Oh, yes. Thank you. Okay. So I'm going to probably butcher this because I just found out about it like a couple days ago. So basically what it is, there should be a sign-up sheet at the lift table, and it's $6. And I believe if we get, I think it's 20 people by a certain the Monday before or the Friday before, something like that, it's basically a private showing of that movie. So if you don't get the 20 people, yep, at the lift table. So not the Welcome Center table, the lift table, because technically this was a ladies thing at first, but then after some of the ladies were talking, they decided that it really can be a family thing too. So they started opening up to more of the families to be able to get to that 20. So if you get 20 people, it's like a private showing. If you don't get the 20 people, still can do the movie and stuff, but then it would just be open to the public. So you would just be getting your seats like anyone else to go to the movie. So I think I have that right. So you can pay tonight. If you want to pay me, I can take that. And some money was given this morning as well, so I can just put that with that. So, all right. Thank you for asking that, because I totally forgot about that. What's that? I've heard it's a great movie. Yes. Yep, I've heard it's a great movie. Okay. Yep. Nope, I heard it was a great movie. Absolutely. For sure. Any other questions about events or activities directed this way? Yes, Avi. October. Yep. So just a good reminder on that, because I've had a couple people ask about that last couple of weeks. Men's prayer breakfast starts October through May, and it's the first Saturday of the month, of every month through those 2 months, October to May, at 8 a.m. So first Saturday of the month, October through May, 8 a.m. is men's prayer breakfast. All right? And there's no cost on that, because some people have invited people and they've asked what's the cost. No cost, absolutely free. We do take, there'll be a spot where somebody would like to give a donation towards future breakfasts. That's fine. Kids are welcome to come as long as you feel that their age, they can, you know, sit through a devotion and all that stuff. That's totally up to the parents or grandparents that want to do that. And if you want to help cook the food, a lot of the food is made here that morning. So I think it's like 7:15, the guys kind of come out to start cooking. So if you would like to do that, you can do that just by showing up between 7 and 7:15. All right. Any other questions? All right. We are going to dive into Psalm 121, and I do have a handout for you, so I need a couple volunteers. All right, Josiah, Anthony. Oh, you guys got beat out by the Atwells. They were all over it. Here, I'll give you some. Anthony, you can do pens. No, Mr. Atwell needs some too. Anthony, you can take pens. Oh, wow. Okay. When it's Josiah and Evan, though, I get a little worried. It's borderline destructive help. I know. Yeah. So we should have enough for everybody. If we do need extras, please let me know. What? It was done in love. I have for Josiah. I have, we both have. We both have. Oh, you're grabbing. I don't have. Okay. Does everybody have a clipboard if you need one? A handout? I think we're good. All right. Thank you. All right. Anyone need a handout? I've got two right here. Pens? Anthony. Or no, Evan's got the pens. I forgot. Evan, don't throw the pens. No, you went like, you made the motion. And I was like, he is going to poke somebody in the eye. Thank you. I know, it's still pointy at one. Like, I mean, thank you. Yes. All right. So everybody's got a handout, everybody's got a clipboard if you need one, and a pen. All right, so Psalm 121, we're going to look through this together, and then we'll break it apart as we've done many times over. This psalm is, and you can write this at the top if you'd like, this is called a psalm of ascent, a psalm of ascent. This psalm is a pilgrimage song. So it's a song that was usually, or a psalm that was usually spoken of as they traveled to worship. So it is also a song that brings assurance. So as you're looking through this psalm, you want to be looking for those things, the idea of assurance being spoken of here. So we'll give you probably about 8 to 10 minutes, okay? There's only 8 verses, so I don't know if you'll need the full 10 minutes, but we'll take about 8 to 10 minutes. Once I see that everyone's kind of no longer writing and marking up their paper, we'll go ahead and jump into the text. But just take some time, read through it, mark up anything that jumps out to you, any observations you want to make, any words or phrases that are encouragements to you, anything that you notice there, take some time and do that, and then we'll talk about it in just a couple of moments. Thank you. Hopefully you guys got through that. I know I usually give you a little bit longer. But we're going to dive in here quickly. Just a couple observations real quick. What jumped out to you? So give me a little, just a tiny snippet. Because we're going to dive into all of this in detail. But just give me a snippet. What jumped out to you in this psalm? Okay, so protection is really key in this psalm, right? We're going to see that a lot. Anything else jump out to you? Even the form of the psalm.
He's always with us.
Okay, always with us. That's a huge part of this psalm of ascent and assurance. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. And we're gonna actually walk through that just in a little bit about what that means to set our eyes right upon Him. It what? It matches her license plate? What's her license plate? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. All right. No, that's cool. I did not know that. I was kind of throwing me for a second there. All right. So when you look at the psalm, you're going to notice that actually this is a great example of Hebrew poetry as well. And so if you notice, this psalm is broken up into four couplets. Okay. So, and what happens here is you see the first line is giving us an introduction to the idea, and the second line kind of carries that idea out fuller, gives more weight to the truth that was stated in the first line. So you're going to see verses 1 and 2 would be one of those examples. So the first verse, verse 1, states a truth, and then the second verse kind of expounds on that truth. And you see this through the whole psalm. So again, an introductory line followed by a second line developing the truth stated in the first line. You see this a lot in Psalms because it's an example, again, of Hebrew poetry. Now, this psalm, as I mentioned before, could have been used as travelers were making their way to Jerusalem to worship, finding themselves vulnerable to thieves, to those that would want to rob them or do them harm, and the elements. So think of it in that context. You're traveling to Jerusalem. You're in a caravan or you're in a party of people. But as you're on this journey, remember, some people are traveling very far distances. This would be an example of something they would use to encourage themselves as a group or as an individual. And so you're thinking about the elements, meaning the weather and the sun and all of that, and also just the risks of being traveling, even in the New Testament, right? The example of the one that was the Good Samaritan was a Good Samaritan because he did what? He cared for one that had fallen among thieves, right? That was a common thing that would happen to people as they would be traveling. So this is an example of that kind of assurance that as I'm traveling to worship, God is watching over me. Now, if you look this psalm up in many commentaries, there is some difference of opinion about when exactly this was written. Some put it a little later, some put it a little earlier, but the idea and the truth of the psalm is really the key. It's not so much about when it was written, but about what's it communicating about our God and us as we put our faith and trust in Him. Now, in the very first verse, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. So as Jeff alluded to, we're going to talk about that phrase, looking up or putting our eyes. But I want to talk for a second about the hills. The hills. Now, when you think about that, you can circle that if you didn't already. But here they're spoken of or believed to be the hills surrounding Jerusalem. So they're setting their eyes up on the hills of Jerusalem. Now, again, some have said this is a literal thing. They would actually set their eyes literally on Jerusalem as they're approaching the city. Some believe this is more figurative, more of a mindset of setting our gaze upon the city of God's presence. So some have said this is they're walking and they look up and they see the hills of Jerusalem and they're setting their eyes on this beautiful place, which again makes sense. They're looking to the city of Jerusalem, the presence of God. That's where my help is coming from. It's coming from God's presence. Some have said this is more of a figurative idea. No matter where we find ourselves, we set our eyes on the presence of God, which leads to that first two verses. And so here's what I put down. Again, you can reword this however makes sense to you. But for me, the first two verses, I put down the title, A Choice is Made. A Choice is Made. So here we see that phrase, at the verse 1 there. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Now, that phrase, from whence comes my help, may also be translated, whence is it that my help shall come? So it's a question. Where is my help going to come from? That's kind of the question that's being posed here in verse 1. I look up to the hills. From where is my help coming? Where does my help arrive from? And the question is only posed to give more weight to the answer. So what is the answer? Verse 2. So the truth is in verse 1, or the establishment of what we're talking about in verse 1. Verse 2. My help comes from who? The Lord, which made heaven and earth. So in the opening verse, the psalmist declares that he will lift his eyes and look to the Lord, recognizing the answer to the question is that his help comes from the Lord. And it's, again, it's this beautiful understanding. He's saying, listen, where's my help going to come from? It's going to come from the Lord. It's going to come from his presence. Now, the word help there, if you look this up, it's just the word for help in a lot of sense. It just means to be a help. But something I found interesting is this is the exact same word found in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20. So Genesis 2, what are we talking about in Genesis 2? Just summarize. What are we talking about in Genesis 1 and 2? Creation. So Genesis 2 specifically towards the end of that chapter is dealing with husband and wife, Adam and Eve, right? Mankind. And when Genesis 2 verse 20 speaks about this word help, it's in reference to the helpmate, the one that God gave to man to be a help. And so here, the psalmist is saying, in the same sense, my help comes from the Lord. What is that saying? I cannot be all that God wants me to be without the help of the Lord. And that's how I describe that whenever I do weddings or things like that. It's that helpmate is not a derogatory term. It's not a less than term. It's not a term of subjection. It means that as one flesh, now God is designed to be a helpmate, to help that person to be what God has called them to be. In the same idea, what's the psalmist saying? Where's my help going to come from? I know all that God designed for me to be. And I believe he's saying it's coming from the Lord. It only can come from the Lord. It cannot come from any other source and be consistent help, right? We can be a help to each other. We can be a blessing to each other. But if we're being honest, are we always there to be a help? Can we always be present in every person's life? No, of course not. And I remember when I was way back, I spoke at the baccalaureate at Emily City. And I had the opportunity to do that. And I was sharing about when these students graduate and go into the rest of their lives, that I was kind of making the point, and I probably could have said it better, but I basically was making the point that God is the only one that will be with them all the time, 24/7. That no one else in their life will be there for them every single moment of every day. And I even used parents as an example. And I said, your parents want the best for you. They're going to try to be there for you as much as they can, but they're human. They're going to be limited. They can't be there for you all the time, but God will. The Lord will always be with you and ready to help. And after that talk and everything, I had a parent approach me as we were just kind of standing around talking and just kind of went off and literally said, how dare you tell my child I won't be there for them? And I kind of chuckled at first. That's where I've learned to grow a little bit. I keep that inside now. I used to just let it out. Now I've realized people don't like that. So I keep it in now. But I kind of chuckled a little bit and I said, do you really believe you'll be there for your child 24/7, 365 in every circumstance? They said, of course I will be. I said, well, I'm just going to tell you, you're setting yourself up for a huge discouragement. And you're setting your child up for a huge discouragement. And it's unrealistic expectations. You will never meet that. Why would you put that burden on your shoulders? But again, it just was one of those things. And so here, what does the psalmist say? Man, my help, my constant help, my ever-present help is in the Lord. Who, what? Is the creator of heaven and earth. I love this because in this opening verse, we discover a truth that where we set our gaze sets our heart. Where we set our gaze. So if I fix my eyes on the Lord, my heart will be after the Lord. I will pursue the things of the Lord. If I set my eyes on the things of this world, where's my heart going to go? To the things of this world. My affections will be for the things of this world. But if I set my eyes on the Lord, then my heart will be set on the Lord. What passage comes to mind as we talk about this idea of setting our eyes on the Lord? What's a passage that comes to mind that maybe you could jot down? Anyone have a passage that comes to mind? If you don't know the reference, that's fine. You can just give me the rough idea of the verse. Okay. That's okay. Yeah. I had a different verse in mind or a passage in mind. Any other passages come to mind? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Hebrews 12, right? Hebrews 12, 2. What does it say? We fix our eyes on Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So what is the best way we can remind ourselves that he is our help in every moment of every day? Is that he authored our faith and will finish our faith. What a great help that is. Because when we're discouraged and we're disappointed and we're frustrated, we remind ourselves what? No, I've set my gaze on the Lord because he's the one's going to be the perfecter of my faith. He's going to keep me in his hands. And so here we see that where we set our eyes sets our heart. The psalmist has this confidence in the Lord to be his help because the Lord is over all creation. So some verses you can jot down, some chapters rather. Genesis chapter 1. If we forget that he is the Lord of all creation, go back and read that he created everything. Some other chapters that come to mind. We talked about this a while ago. There's some New Testament chapters that directly connect Christ to creation. Colossians chapter 1, right? Romans 1. Any other thoughts on that? There was four New Testament chapters that speak to Christ in connection with creation. John 1, right? So we got, what do we have? Romans 1, John 1. Any others? There's two more. Colossians 1. And what's the other one? Sorry? Oh, Genesis. I said New Testament. I'm sorry. There's four New Testament chapters. Hebrews 1, right? Hebrews 1 connects us back to the Lord and creation. And so here we see all throughout Old and New, the reminder that he is the creator of all things. And so how can I be confident that God is the perfect help that I need no matter what I go through? Well, he's the creator of all things. So what can he handle? Everything, right? Everything is under his control. When we need help, we can make the choice to look to the Lord as well. We can do the same thing. We're not traveling to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage, but we know that we've been in valleys where we've looked up to the hills and we've said, Lord, where's my help coming from? And we remind ourselves it's coming from you. I love what Matthew Henry said in his commentary on this. He says this, we must not rely upon men and means, instruments and second causes. Shall I depend upon the strength of the hills, upon princes and great men? No. My confidence is in God only. Or we must lift up our eyes above the hills. We must look to God who makes all earthly things to us what they are. We must see all our help in God. From him, we must expect it in his own way and time. That ending is crucial. Because we go, but I looked to God for help and he didn't show up. I looked for God for help and he didn't come through. No, he didn't come through the way you wanted him to. He didn't show up the way you thought he would, but he showed up, and he's still actively working. Verse 7, there's a phrase that I didn't wrestle with it, but as I was reading through it, I was like, Lord, give me wisdom on this. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Man, just the study of Israel's history, they saw some evil. They encountered some things that attacked them and came against them. So we're going to talk about at the end of tonight or possibly next week, what that may be speaking of. Because again, we live in a fallen world and we are, I'll use the word victim in the sense from our understanding of a lot of evil things that happen around us, that happen to us, right? So how does the Lord say, I'm going to preserve you from evil? But yet we find ourselves in an evil world where evil things happen to believers all the time. And we fall victim to those things. But I believe the Lord will give us wisdom in that. So here we see he's going to be a help. He's going to show up in his time, in his way, for his glory. The psalm moves, if you notice there, what happens between verse 2, 1 and 2, and the rest of the psalm? Do you notice anything different about the way the psalm is written? Okay, So in verses 1 and 2, it's kind of from the psalmist is speaking, I will do this. Then in verses 2 or 3 through 8, it moves to what? He will do this. The Lord will do that. The Lord will do this. So again, it kind of transitions. So some commentaries have said this moves from more of a personal psalm to more of a corporate psalm of worship. So we're now, we as a body are saying these things about the Lord. The example I read in one commentary said, if you're traveling in a group, one person may start to question, where does my help come from? But as he declares, my help comes from the Lord, as a group now, we begin to encourage each other with who the Lord is and what the Lord has done. Again, that's just one commentator's opinion. I do like the way it fits into the psalm. But either way, the mindset of the psalmist changes from I will do, to no, my direction's now the Lord is and the Lord will do these things. So verses 3 and 4, we see a choice is made in verses 1 and 2. In verses 3 and 4, we see a confidence is stated. A confidence is stated. So we see here, he, the Lord, will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, the word moved here is regarding our feet. And it literally means to slip or slide. Not a slip and slide, but to slip or slide. Okay? So imagine again, what are we talking about here? What is this group of people doing? They're traveling to Jerusalem. And as they're walking through this terrain, what might they come across? Some rough travels. This is a pretty good hike, right? And it's rocky terrain. And so slipping and sliding off of rocks probably happened quite often. So what's the psalmist saying? He's not saying literally you're going to walk perfectly on this rock and never your foot's never going to physically slip. He's speaking of a grander idea here. He's saying, spiritually speaking, you're not going to slip. You're not going to fall. The Lord is going to be there with you. He's going to watch over you. And I love this because he's even guarding our steps. He's guarding us down to our very steps. That's the intimacy that God desires with us. Now, we can use this analogy of our steps today being ordered by the Lord. That we ask him to order our steps. We ask him to be with us in our understanding. And I've always used this illustration of walking on a dirt road in the country at night. I had this experience one time. I was walking from a friend's house over on Wilcox Road, and I thought Brown City was a whole lot closer than it really was. And I just moved to Brown City, and I thought, well, it's not that far. I realized very quickly it's a lot farther than you think it is, especially at like 12:30 at night. So I just moved up from Detroit, city kid. I'm walking down this dirt road. It's perfectly dark out, black. I have no light really except for this little tiny flashlight. And I'm just walking like this trying to see where I'm going. And every noise sounds like a lion, a tiger, a bear, everything. Like I'm like, something's going to jump out of those. There was the stars and there was the light from, you know, the moon and stuff like that. But it was still relatively dark. When I was having that light on my path, I could only see so far in front of me. I couldn't see what was down the road really. And I always think back to that when the Bible says that it's a light unto our feet. Right? It's a light unto our path. It's not going to reveal the next 5 miles, but it's going to show you the next so many steps. So what do? We take those steps with the understanding of what the Lord has given us. Lord, this step is wise because your word says I should do this. I don't know what 17 steps from now looks like, but I know the next 5 steps. So give me wisdom to take those 5 steps for your glory. And so when we think about this idea that he guards our very steps, man, he watches over every step we take. And by the way, even when we've made steps that didn't please him and we weren't pursuing him and we were walking in our own wisdom, he's still watching over us in those steps as well. And he's going to be there to redirect our steps too and pull us back to the path we need to be on. So here we see the idea that he guards our steps. He watches over us. Now, go ahead. Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. We want to make sure that we're keeping our eyes on the Lord and saying, Lord, guide my very steps, right? Because we know he's going to watch over us, but we want to make sure we're walking in that path that we should be walking, right? And again, think of it as these travelers are going to Jerusalem. They want to make sure they're on the right path to end in the presence of the Lord, right? Also, what do you notice there in verses 3 and 4, repetition in a word that repeats through the psalm. It's said quite a few times. It's in other verses as well. Verse 5, what's the word there? Keep. Okay? So we actually notice in verse 3 a word that's very important to the overall psalm. The word is the word keep or keepeth. The word in Hebrew is shamar, so shamar, and it means to exercise diligence, watchfulness, protective care, or to guard over. So we see it here in verses 3. It says, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. We see it earlier in, oh no, it's verse 3. I already read that one, right? Yep, okay. So verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not neither slumber nor sleep. Now the word is actually the same word in the Hebrew in the two examples of, or three examples of the word preserve in verses 7 and 8. It's all the same Hebrew word. So there's six times this word is used. Its word is keep, or it's used as the word keep and preserve in verses 7 and 8. So in six times in eight verses, we see this word being used. Avi. Here we see this word is used six times in eight verses. It's to exercise diligence in the idea of being diligent in what you're doing, watchful, protective care, or to guard over. So it's exercise diligence, watchful, protective care, to guard over. Another phrase that you might hear people use is the word watchman. A watchman is one who's guarding over, watching over, right? There's diligence. He's not looking away. He's not distracted. He's not, you know, taken off by some other thing. He's diligent. This is my job, is to watch over. And so again, in eight verses, six times this word is used in the Hebrew. And again, what's God's desire here for the people of Israel to learn from this? He's watching over. He's diligent. He's guarding over them. It's an obvious intent of the psalmist to make sure God's people know that no matter where they go or what happens around them, there is one standing guard over them. And he is the Lord. And who is the Lord? He is the maker of heaven and earth. So what shall they fear? Nothing. If you have the Lord guarding you and watching over you and there by your side, and he is the maker of heaven and earth, then there's nothing on heaven, or rather on earth or in heaven, that you need to fear, because he is over all things. So again, this is an amazing encouragement that when we feel discouraged or attacked or persecuted or oppressed by something, or we feel something in our lives, a circumstance rising up against us, we need to know that God is guarding over us. He's watching over us. When you lay your head on your pillow tonight, he is guarding over you. He is there with you, watching over every moment. And again, it doesn't mean he's not going to allow things into our lives that we don't want, because that happens. But when those things come into our lives, he's still watching over you. And what's the next thing about this one who guards over us that's so important in verses 3 and 4? Exactly. Yep. And it actually uses two words here, the word slumber and the word sleep, which I used to always think that seems kind of odd to me. Why the two words? Why not just say he doesn't sleep? Because that would be sufficient enough. But the word slumber actually can be translated as drowsy. He doesn't get drowsy. So he's not me on Benadryl, right? I'm not on Benadryl right now, but there's sometimes I am, and it's not good, okay? It's drowsy for sure, okay? And a little cranky if you ask Sandra. So I get a little irritable when I'm on Benadryl. I don't know why. She's nodding her head. Yes. I don't know why it happens. It is what it is. So here these two words are used, slumber or sleep. So sleep is obvious. He's actually sleeping. He doesn't sleep and he doesn't even get drowsy. Here's the thing. The watchman, the human watchman on their shift, anybody watch? Yeah. About humanly speaking, we get drowsy. We get kind of distracted. God never even loses a moment of attention as he's watching over you. Like, he doesn't get drowsy. He doesn't need to take a break. He doesn't need to drink coffee to get caffeinated, so he's ready to go for another shift. He is ever vigilant. And I love that part of that definition was exercise diligence. He's diligent in it. Julie. Yes. Yes.
Hard to understand, but thankful.
Yes. And I think, humanly speaking, I think it makes a little more sense to me when I realize that he's that father watching over us. Just like when we had our boys first came home from the hospital, I remember that first night. I don't know if we really slept. Well, she probably slept a lot more than I did, but she deserved some sleep. But I remember just like, you know, because the crib was in our bedroom. We thought that would be a good idea to put the crib in the bedroom. It was not a good idea. But anyway, two-bedroom apartment. My younger brother was living with us, and so we didn't want to put the crib in his bedroom. We thought that would be rude. So we put the crib in our bedroom. And we realized very quickly with Anthony, who didn't sleep a whole lot at night, that he would just stand there like a prisoner looking through the bars, just staring at us as we're trying to sleep, and he'd just look at you. But I remember the first night, I would creep over to the crib. All parents have done this, I think. You creep over to the crib, and what are you looking for? You're looking for that chest to move. Are you breathing? Because you're moving. You're not moving. You're laying really still. Please tell me you're breathing, right? That fatherly, that parental kind of guidance and desire to make sure I'm watching over my child, to make sure that they're, are they okay? Are they protected, right? That's the Lord, and it's constant. And yet, our Lord sustains all of creation. Like, think about that. He actually holds everything in space exactly as it needs to be. And at the same time, he's watching over your intimate details of your life.
Not to mention sparrows.
Yes, yes. A sparrow can't fall to the ground without him making note of it, right? Terry.
Really, I mean, is it even possible to give the Lord enough due diligence here of how powerful and omnipresent and
yes.
what kind of God we have that we serve?
Yes.
That we have, we can go access, like you said this morning, we can access him all the time.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that is just amazing to me.
Yes. And that's exactly right. It's that he's always present in every place at all times. And he's also all wise in everything that needs to be done. And he's all powerful that he can do whatever needs to be done. And so I don't know about you, but that's who I want guarding over me. I don't want some person being my help. Although we're a help to each other, I understand that. But ultimately, our help comes from the Lord. And I love what Matthew Henry said. We don't just look to the hills. We look where? We look above the hills. We look to the one that made the hills. That's our God. And so again, I just want to encourage that idea that he is guarding over us. There is nothing we go through that he is not actively involved in watching over us. And again, we will talk about it next week. But we'll talk about then how can it be that we go through situations in life in a fallen world where things happen to us. How can we then continue to have that mindset even in those difficult situations? And so we'll talk about that more next week. So we'll stop here. We'll pick up in verse 5. Next week. And I pray that you guys can be with us for that. But I encourage you to read through this psalm. When you feel those difficult days, you feel that oppressed type mindset where you're like, man, everything's just going crazy. Everything's falling apart. We live in a fallen world. The Lord is guarding over you. Go to this psalm and let it be a prayer.
Did you have a title for verses 3 and 4?
Yes, that was A confidence is stated. Yep. That's fine. All right. Well, let's do this. We'll pray. It's actually 6:54 back there. So you guys all have a couple minutes to fellowship. So feel free to do so. Don't feel like you have to just rush right out of here. But we'll give you a couple minutes to fellowship. And then again, we'll pick this up next week. All right. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for being our keeper, the one who is diligently watching over us. Lord, I'm so thankful for the truth that we find in this short psalm. Lord, just 8 verses. And yet, Lord, we might just breeze right past it, not really stop and meditate on these things. So I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we go through this week, as we live in this fallen world, as your children. We come against difficult situations or we start to feel discouraged. Lord, we begin to think that And maybe that you've fallen off your throne, that somehow you're not in control. Maybe we just go to the truth of your word and be reminded again that our help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. And there is nothing that you are not over. There is nothing that you are not working in and through for your glory and our blessing. And Lord, I know that that's hard to really see or believe practically when we go through some of the things that we go through in this fallen world. But I pray that we would know that you are using all things for good. And so, Lord, again, may you be glorified as we rejoice in the truth of this word. Thank you for being that fatherly protection, that guard, that one who does not slumber, who does not sleep, but is diligently watching over us. May we go in that confidence this week. Father, again, we thank you for all that you've done today. Thank you for time in your word. And I pray, Lord, that every single one of us would make it a priority this week, as we talked about this morning, to be in your word every day this week. Lord, to spend quality alone time with you. And again, Lord, not in the replacement of gathering with the body of Christ, but alongside that commitment to the body of Christ, that we would both get alone with you and then gather together as the body of Christ to be encouraged. And Father, again, in all these things, may you be glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We'll see you Wednesday. Don't forget, Word of Life, 6:45. So if you have children or grandchildren, please try to be here. 6:45 they start. All right. Getting back to that time. Adults, we still start at 7. Give you a little bit of a window there, but just a reminder.